Greetings. This is Dr. William R. Glay, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. As the founder and CEO of the Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I am grateful that you are listening to us either on WYYC AM and WYYC FM. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive a brochure that I wrote entitled The Bible and Alcohol. The promotion will run from now through October the 13th. At the end of the promotion, we will be having a drawing, randomly picking two names. Each of these two individuals will receive one of my books entitled Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we would love to hear from you. Please go to our website and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Tabernacle Table Showbread from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Tabernacle Table Showbread.
All right, if you can, I'm going to ask that you stand as we honor God's word. And I've been reading for our scripture each Sunday from Exodus chapter 40. And we've been reading out of the easy to read version. And so as we come today, and I'll read this scripture to get us started. So Moses finished all the work. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Moses could not go into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the holy tent. When the cloud arose from the holy tent, the Israelites would begin to travel. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud. So all the Israelites could see the cloud while they traveled. The message today, as we continue to talk about, let your glory fill this place, that God has blessed us with this sanctuary. We have been in here for a little bit over a month now, and we want the glory of the Lord to fill this place. And as I've been saying each and every week, that unbelievers should come here looking for God, but believers should come here bringing God with them. And as you bring God with you, that is how the Shekinah glory is going to be manifested. So let your glory fill this place. Today's message is about life. We're looking at spiritual life, abundant life, and eternal life. Somebody put it like this. They said that there are seven ages or seven stages of life. Spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. As a child, we deal with spills. As adolescents, we go to the dentist and we deal with drills. As young adults, we deal with thrills. As adults, we deal with bills. As an aged person, we deal with ills. As an elderly person, we deal with pills. And as a dying person, we deal with wills. So those are, when you look at life, those are the seven stages of life. But unfortunately, as we come to our society today, we see that we live in a culture of death. Man, death is all around us. You know, we see babies' lives being taken in the womb. We live in a culture of death. We see homicides all around us. You know, and I would say that as a black community, we need to be praying because, you know, I went online and I did some research, and from 2016 to 2021, Allegheny County, blacks make up about 13 to 15% of the population in Allegheny County. Yet 70% of all homicides were in the black community. Now, couple that with the fact that, again, the black community makes up about 13% of the population, and 38% of abortions take place in the black community. What does that tell you? We're killing ourselves coming in, and we're killing ourselves once we get here. And, you know, if you look around, you know, the landscape of especially Allegheny County, it's no surprise about this, is growing thin. And I know people are moving out, but a part of that is due to the fact that in our communities that, you know, we're just seeing a decrease in life. So we live in a culture of death, suicides. During the pandemic, the rate of suicide went up because people were isolated, people were alone, people were by themselves. We look at wars that are going on around the world, and there's always a war going on somewhere where people's lives are being taken. Just turn on your TV each week and you can see there's another mass shooting that's taking place somewhere else. We see people dying from drug overdoses and even euthanasia. And we see that as much as we are, and that's what I want to talk about today, as much as we enjoy life and as much as we celebrate life, that we do it in the midst of a culture where there's death all around us. And so we've been on this study dealing with the tabernacle. And as we give an overview of the tabernacle, if you go to that next slide, please, we see that as we enter the tabernacle, we do it on the left-hand side at the bottom through the gate. As we come through the gate, the first thing we see is the brazen altar, and that's where the sacrifices were offered. And as you moved past the brazen altar, you went to the laver, and that's where the priests were sanctified for service, where they washed and became purified for service. And so we visited both of those pieces of furniture, and then we left the outer court, which is where the altar and the laver are, and we moved into what's called the holy place, and that is under the tent. And so last week, as we entered the tent, we looked on the left-hand side, which would be the south side, and we saw the golden candlestick, and the Jewish people call that the menorah. So we looked at that last week. This week, as we look in, we're going to look to the right, and we see the table of showbread. And then next week, we will look at the altar of incense. And then in the subsequent weeks, we will go behind the curtain and we will move into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And we're going to talk about how that when Jesus died on the cross, that the Bible says that the curtain of the Holy of Holies was split in two, because only one person could go into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest once a year. And when Christ died on the cross, that veil was split, letting us all know that now, as Hebrews 4:16 says, that we can come to the throne of grace boldly, that we all have access into the presence of God. Just not the high priest, but we all have access into the presence of God. So our journey today in the tabernacle takes us to the table of showbread. The table of showbread. The description of the table of showbread, we see that it was about 3 feet long and about 1.5 feet wide, and it stood about 2 feet off of the ground. There were four corners. On the four corners, there were golden rings, which were used whenever they got ready to move. Again, when the cloud or the fire moved, that they had to pack everything up and they had to move it. And so as they moved the table of showbread, they had these poles that they would run through the sides, and the priests were to carry the table of showbread with these poles. And then there was a frame around the top because there was objects on the top of the table of showbread to keep it in place. We see that the table of showbread was made of acacia wood, and it was overlaid with gold. And so likewise, the poles that were used in transporting the table of showbread were made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. And they were to bake 12 pieces of bread out of fine flour. And those 12 pieces of bread were to be placed on the table of showbread. And then we see that there was frankincense that was placed on the table of showbread also. And this was a reminder of God's provision, because as they would have offerings, the priest would take that frankincense in a little bowl, and we're going to talk about this next week, he would take it over to the altar of incense, and he would sprinkle that incense on the altar of incense, reminding the people that as the aroma went up from the altar of incense, that it was God who provided bread for the Israelites in the wilderness, and it was God who took care of them. What was the position of the table of showbread? Again, the table of showbread was on the right as you came into the holy place, which was in that place where the golden candlestick and the altar of incense was. Now, here's where it gets good. Here's where it. I love this right here. That what was the function of the table of showbread? What was the function of the table of showbread? Well, in Exodus chapter 25, in verse 30, it is called the table of showbread. Now watch this, because this is where the message hinges. The rest of the message will hinge on this. And that is, it's called the table of showbread that is always before me, or that's before me of always. Now, why did God, and we're going to examine that, we're going to look into that. Why did God say that it's the table of showbread before me always? In the Hebrew, it literally reads the table, the bread of presence. The word presence in the Hebrew, which is the word that's used there in Exodus, is the word pani. And it actually means face, that the face of God. Now, we know that God doesn't have a face. He's a spirit, right? You know, Bible says God has wings, and it says that, you know, he has hands and feet. But God doesn't literally have hands and feet, so he doesn't have a face. But what does the face represent? The word pani, the word Hebrew, meant face to face. It represent the presence of the Lord. And so this was a reminder that the divine presence of God was at the table of showbread. Now, you may read in other places, because there was other names that was given to the table of showbread. It was called in some circles the continual bread. And in other circles, it was called, I love this right here, it was called face bread. Face bread. Now, again, you can imagine why it was called face bread, because there the presence of the Lord was manifested here at the altar of incense. As we continue to look at this, it served as a reminder of God's provision. The 12 loaves represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and a portion of the table, or the bread on the table, was offered to the Lord. Now, they had to keep the bread for 7 days, and on the seventh day, they replaced the bread. But when they replaced the bread, they gave it to the priest, and only the priest could eat the bread. So you remember on a couple of occasions, I think one when David was king, that he actually went and he ate the bread on the table of showbread. But it was only to be eaten by the priest. So they replaced it every 7 days. And on that seventh day, they gave it to the priest. Now, let's look at the New Testament significance of the table of showbread. Again, I think that as we understand these different pieces of furniture and how they reflect our lives as we live it out in the New Testament, that we will allow God to fill our hearts, that we will allow God to fill our lives, and that when we come to the house of God, we will bring God with us. And as we bring God with us, that's when the Shekinah will set on this place. And so the first thing that we see is that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. John 6:48. And I thought about this, and I tried to put it in a way that maybe we can relate. When Jesus said that I am the bread of life, because, you know, my next point is that he is not only the bread of life, but he's the eternal bread. But he said here that he is the bread of life. Growing up, back in the day when we only had black and white television, there was a product that came on, and it was called Wonder Bread. And you, some of y'all might remember Wonder Bread, right? And if you remember the tagline, what did the tagline say? It said it helps build strong bodies. What was that? 12 different ways. Now, as we look at nutritionists today, they tell you that white bread is the worst thing for you. So what happened, man? We drank the Kool-Aid back then, right? Yeah, we made sure we had Wonder Bread on the table because we wanted to build strong bodies 12 ways, right? But we see that Jesus is the Wonder Bread. That when the Israelites traveled in the journey in the wilderness, that God dropped down bread from heaven. And it was called manna. And the first day that he dropped it down, somebody came and said, what is it? And that's what they called it from then on. What is it? Manna. And so God nourished his people in the wilderness with manna. He kept them alive with manna. And so Jesus Christ is our manna. And the fact that this Wonder Bread has vitamin A, it gives us sight when we're blind. This Wonder Bread has vitamin B. It energizes us when we are weak. This vitamin bread has vitamin C. It boosts our immunity to sin. This Wonder Bread has vitamin D. It produces sunshine in our soul. This Wonder Bread has vitamin J. In times of sorrow, it gives us joy. This Wonder Bread has vitamin P. It gives us peace in the time of turmoil. This Wonder Bread has vitamin R. It gives us righteousness in the time of temptation. This Wonder Bread, oh, I wish I had time to cover the whole alphabet this morning, right? But when you think about it, the vitamin in the Wonder Bread that Jesus brings, he gives us sight when we're blind. He gives us energy when we're weak. He boosts our immunity to sin. He gives us sunshine in our soul. He gives us joy in sorrow. He gives us peace in turmoil. And he gives us righteousness in the time of temptation. When Jesus said that I am the bread of life, that's what he was saying. He said every spiritual nutrient that you are lacking in, every spiritual nutrient that you are lacking in, Jesus said that he is the bread of life. Let me get this microphone straight here. All right. He said that he gives us whatever we're lacking. That in this life, if you examine your life and look at all the things that you come up short in as far as life is concerned, that if you will just come to this bread of life, he will give you everything that you need. And so when he says that I'm the bread of life, he said, I'll make up all your deficiencies. And you know, and this is where the world is struggling, because as one of the saints of old put it, that in each heart is an empty space that only God can fulfill. That in your heart, in my heart, is an empty space that only God can fulfill. And when we eat of the wonder bread, that Jesus comes in and he fills that spot and he satisfies our appetite. And that's why people in the world that don't know Christ, that continue to deal with that empty spot in their life, that they continue to go and see how they can satisfy it through drugs, through relationships, through education, through all type of synthetic means, they try to fulfill it. But if you've come and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he steps into that empty place and he becomes your bread of life. Just like the bread back in the table of showbread in the tabernacle, that Jesus is the bread of life. But notice that he not only says that he was the bread, but he says that he is the bread who gives eternal life. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live. He shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Every one of those individuals that ate the bread and the manna, they had one thing in common, and that was they all died. They ate the manna that fell down, the manna that fell from heaven. They ate it. It nourished them. It sustained them. But the fact of the matter is that they all checked out of this life. Jesus said that whoever eats this bread will live forever, that you're not going to die. We can sing the words of that song, fame, I'm going to live forever. Fame, I'm going to live forever. In eternity, I'm going to be with God. That the blessed thing about this memorial service that we're going to have is that most of these saints, when they close their eyes in death, they woke up in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus to Inclusion, Table of Showbread. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Tabernacle, Table of Showbread, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Table of Showbread. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Tabernacle, Table of Showbread. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.